host, welcome everyone to tonight's training, weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobby that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is engaging business leaders to support a healthy climate, finding out more about how you can work with business climate leaders. To take us through tonight's training, we have four wonderful speakers, and I'm going to pass the baton first to Harold, and each of them will have a chance to tell a little bit about themselves and their own background with business climate leaders. Harold?
Love the job you do for all of us. So I'm Harold Hedelman, co-founder of Business Climate Leaders. I am very committed to not only mitigating greenhouse gas emissions, but also drawing them down from the atmosphere in order to get us back to what we would probably all want to call a livable planet and a livable climate. Before starting BCL, I was really privileged to run a pilot program for Natural Resources Defense Council, testing whether they could use Citizens Climate Lobby methods in advocating for the Clean Power Plan. That was a lot of fun, and I still am appreciative of that time with NRDC. And before that, I spent many years working in the nonprofit sector, enjoying everything I got to do with all kinds of people who are dedicated to making the world a better place, like all of you out there.
Thank you, Harold. I'm Randy Salem in the Bay Area, former executive with Yahoo and The Economist, having lived in the Philippines, Hong Kong, and the Bay Area for, I guess, about close to 20 years now. And I've been with Business Climate Leaders for about 3 years now, working on bringing new members in, getting people engaged, and also working in a number of sectors to bring companies into our work.
Thanks, Randy. Bruce Hagen here, also a co-founder of this BCL group, and been involved with energy and climate and environment for, I hate to say it now, about a half a century. And looking forward to talking with you all tonight and working with you all as the days come.
Thanks. I'm Steve Hams. As you can see from my picture on the screen, I'm calling in from Patagonia in South America. That's actually not true, but I love that picture. It gives me a great reminder all the time of what a wonderful world we're trying to save. So anyway, I'm here also in Silicon Valley. I spent over 30 years in the mostly in the high tech industry, some in nonprofit, some in the sports industry, and I lead our overall sector team's effort, and then specifically I lead a couple of the individual sector teams, namely the IT sector and the sports sector. And I'm very happy that everybody's with us this evening.
Thank you, all four of you. We couldn't do the work without the leadership of Business Climate Leaders, so we're really looking forward to diving in tonight to really review three key areas, if we've done our jobs well, on how everyone that's tuning in live or listening to the recording later can really benefit from tonight's training. So we're going to review how to really understand why business support is so crucial in passing the Energy Innovation Act, HR 763, in this session. We're also going to have the chance to explain how Business Climate Leaders specifically engages with business leaders throughout this country. And then we're also going to be able to review how you can decide to effectively and enjoyably contribute to building relationships with businesses in your own district. So without further ado, I will pass it to you, Randy, and we will get started in tonight's excellent training.
Thank you, Brett. Always appreciate it. So just want to walk through our plan, journey for this evening. We're first going to talk about why we engage businesses, why that's important to the work we're doing, how we go about engaging them, some success stories, some examples of companies and industries where we've kind of had really tangible results in our work, look at how BCL, Business Climate Leaders, works and how we're organized, and then how you can get involved, whether you're an old hand at working in and as an executive or whether you're somebody new interested in getting involved. We will talk about that and give you some very concrete ways to do that. And then we'll have plenty of time to have a discussion. So first, to start out, who is Business Climate Leaders? Well, first of all, we are an action team of Citizens Climate Lobby, one of the largest with several hundred members. We are part of the Grasstops outreach lever. And we are here, and we are all here to serve CCL volunteers to engage with businesses, small businesses near you or large multinationals across the country. And we're really focused on developing long-term partnerships, as Harold mentioned earlier. We in terms of the overriding view of business climate leaders and the work that we want to do in making a livable planet for all of us, first starting with carbon pricing, but then we'll see where that goes. And we're working to create a network of companies that will move with us as we and CCL evolves.
Yeah, so the question becomes, you know, why does business matter when it comes to advocating for a price on carbon? And this is one quote from Dr. James Hansen, saying, if you've probably read this, it's the captains of industry that can get us through the climate crisis. I've met with them. They also have children and grandchildren and want to be part of the solution. In addition to this being personal for them in the same way that it is to us, there's also really key issues for them from a business point of view, because increasingly they see climate change as a major threat to their long-term business. And Congress listens to business leaders for a variety of reasons. As we all know, they create many jobs, they pay taxes, and these are near and dear to the hearts of members of Congress. They support members of Congress campaigns through contributions and advocating for them. They lobby, and they're good at lobbying. And they're also very powerful business problem solvers, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And we engage with both large and local businesses. They're both influential. The large ones, you know, they have the big brand names, so they carry a lot of weight from that point of view. They have a lot of jobs. They make the larger contributions typically, and they're also strong lobbyists. But local and smaller businesses are also really important. They have personal relationships, and they're well known within the districts of the members of Congress. So as I mentioned, the businesses are known as problem solvers. They're known as being objective and analytical. And when a business leader talks to a member of Congress about climate solutions, it carries a lot of weight. And if you as a CCL member bring a business person with you when you meet with a member of Congress, and they convey to them that they believe that the U.S. needs to enact an effective price on carbon, the member of Congress is very likely to listen to them more so or in a different way than they would an individual constituent. And and the good news is that more and more businesses and sectors are willing to do this because, as I mentioned, they see the threats from climate change and the need to address the issue. One great example of this is the outdoor industry. And close to 100 organizations with the outdoor industry have now joined BCL to advocate for a price on carbon. This includes ski resorts, outdoor businesses, ski associations, conservation groups, and national organizations like Protect Our Winters. And why is this? Because, as I mentioned, climate change is an existential threat to that sector. No snow, no skiing, no ice, no outdoor hockey. Storms and droughts disrupts fishing and hunting and so forth. So as you engage with businesses, look for those that have particular risks associated with climate change. That's a good clue in terms of who to engage.
Thank you, Steve. I'm going to start, this is Harold. I'm going to start by talking a little bit about the basic structure of business climate leaders. As you can see on this slide, we have a triangle. Bucky Fuller would love us. We're a network of two kinds of teams. They support each other, and they are supported by the Business Climate Leaders Steering Committee. Our steering committee video conferences every week to push forward ways in which we can support and better support each of these two kinds of teams. On the left, our sector teams focus on engaging Fortune 1000 companies in support for effective carbon pricing. Now, by sector, I mean an economic sector. For example, a retail sector, food and beverage, high-tech, electricity providers, power plants, or healthcare industry, for example, is a sector. Now, the story of how we got started and why we started by working on sectors is instructive. The story begins in late 2014 with Bill Shireman, the founder and CEO of Future 500. Future 500's work is about mediating conflicts between big green and big business and helping these two frequently opposed forces find ways to work together. Bill had an idea for how big business could become supportive of carbon pricing. So I invited him to speak on a panel for the public and for attendees of the Northern California Regional Conference in February of 2015. And as the panel concluded, Bill stood up and he made an inspired short speech. He said, "UCCO members in the audience, I have a secret strategy for you. Go to the CEOs of the big retail companies and point out that your policy, at that time, carbon fee and dividend, is going to put money in the pockets of their customers. That will get their attention and their support." The audience cheered. Several of us agreed on the spot to take action on Bill's no longer secret strategy, and we agreed to form a team of volunteers and to focus our initial work on the retail sector. So the group of us focusing on retail, we became the first sector team. And at the same time, we were the steering committee. But along the way, we realized that most business leaders in the country run much smaller companies that are not part of the national landscape. But for an organization like CCL with chapters in almost every district, these smaller businesses are very important to members of Congress. As Steve pointed out, they pay local taxes and they're recognized leaders in their communities. They're constituents of those members of Congress, so they have a special role to play in getting policy through. So in recognizing that fact, we started our second kind of a team, the local chapter grasstops outreach teams. So there you have it. We have CCL volunteers working on Fortune 1000 companies in specific sectors of the economy, and we have volunteers supporting local chapters all around the country. Now, let's talk a little bit, if you let me go further, we'll talk about the keys to success for business climate leaders. We have found that working in teams produces better results. So if you're interested in working with business climate leaders, we're going to try and hook you up with somebody either locally or with somebody that's working on national teams and integrate you into a process. Our national sector teams are fairly small, anywhere from 2 to 8 people. And often these sector teams include a member of the BCL Advisory Board. And you can find out more about them on the BCL website, which is businessclimateleaders.org. And the sector teams also include one or more members of the steering committee. So there's lots of support from knowledgeable people in working on those national sector teams. Our grasstops outreach teams, or GO teams, are formed with local volunteers who are supported by key business climate leader volunteers. Second key factor of our work is networking, and especially for GO teams, looking for local networks, formal or informal, can be really helpful. And so we train GO teams on utilizing their own personal networks, as well as using other local networks to build support. Growing those networks and feeding them valuable information about climate policy is an important part of finding and building support, which brings me to another key, which is relationships. It really is all about relationships. As you reach out to busy business leaders, it's very important to approach them with a mindset of starting and building a relationship. Of course, just like with a member of Congress, you start with appreciation and respect. You do some homework, figure out what you can about them in terms of where they might be already on climate. Start off with good questions and listening, and that's the beginning of a good relationship, listening carefully. For example, you might ask, where do they stand on climate already? Do they see any threats to their business from climate change or extreme weather or rising sea levels, whatever? Are they taking any steps to address those problems? And what do they know about current climate policy proposals and other solutions? And would they welcome your help in learning more about these? All of these kinds of introductory, somewhat open-ended questions can get you to learn a lot about them before you get to the point of being able to ask them to do anything. And as you build a relationship with them based around helping them address their concerns, you're becoming a local climate leader in their eyes. If you understand where they're starting from, You can then ask them for support in ways that are both creative and appropriate. In terms of the ask, if you go to a meeting with the mentality that all you want is a signature of endorsement, you're missing an opportunity to build a relationship and get much more. Perhaps you can help educate their employees, or perhaps they'll plug you into a network or a trade group of theirs that they belong to. In addition to, or instead of an endorsement, they may want to help or work with you to write and submit a statement of support for the bill or similar bills, which for a member of Congress can be just as valuable as an endorsement. Keep in mind that once we get a carbon tax enacted, there will be much more work to do on climate. And so you want to keep the relationship alive for those future engagements. By the way, we're working on a short document, Randy and I and some of the others, summarizing the kinds of things that businesses can be asked to do, things that you can suggest to them that they can do, and we'll likely go over that document in a future webinar. The final key is the three P's: patience, politeness, and persistence. The words business and busy have the same root meaning, and business leaders are almost by definition busy. That's where the three P's come in. If someone you're trying to reach is hard to get through to, don't give up. Be patient, try again. Always be polite, be humorous, and understanding about their overflowing inbox. Over time, you can add tidbits of news. Try texting instead of email, or try phoning, or all three. In the end, they'll respect you for your persistence and politeness, and the chances are you'll eventually be rewarded. So now I'm just going to switch to one story that sort of demonstrates some of these ideas. Unilever is one of the world's largest retail companies, the kind of companies we were focusing early on. And at that point, I ran across an article written by one of their senior level managers about the need for companies to be leaders in sustainability, social responsibility, and climate. I wrote him a congratulatory and very appreciative note via social media, and I asked him for a conversation. He responded from London. After finding out about our focus on US policy, he directed us to his government affairs staff in DC. And that led, after about 6 months, which included some educational work on our part about carbon pricing and carbon taxes, we got to have a meeting between the CCL DC staff and their staff. They met with both Tennessee senators and expressed support for our bill. Now, there's four things worth pointing out about this story. Although reaching out to Unilever in this way was opportunistic, and looking for ways to interact with a company spokesperson is a very good place to start a relationship, because when you see an article or a media piece, you're starting out with a compliment and appreciation for them being a spokesperson. And you now know something specific about that person that you can talk about. It's a great way to start a relationship. Secondly, Unilever was already inclined toward doing the right thing on climate. You knew that from the piece that he had written, this spokesperson. Now, this is true for local, national, or international businesses like Unilever. So if you know that already, you have an important piece of knowledge about the company. Third, you have to be prepared for starts and stops in the process. Some of the stops are going to be about getting to the right person. Some are about providing information and education about our policy and waiting while the company decides if it can, in fact, do something supportive. And finally, their particular expression of support in the Unilever case was they would support our bill and any other bill that would, quote, green the grid. Now, this may seem like less than full victory, but we don't think so. It got Unilever, whose ice cream factory in Tennessee is the biggest in the world, in front of two Republican senators expressing support for a carbon tax approach. Broad support statements like this are much easier for big companies to get behind, and any companies in general. And so they're very helpful for us. Don't shy away from asking for that.
Thanks, Harold. In this case, we're focused on an industry sector, the brewing sector. It all started with a couple CCLers, starting in Michigan and then in North Carolina, who were having some success connecting with breweries. Breweries are very impacted by climate. They're dependent upon supplies of hops and barley. And the most critical ingredient is clean water. So climate poses a threat to all of those pieces. There's now been a proliferation in the U.S. of now what went from about 80 brewers back in 1980 to over 6,000 brewers now. Across the country, people drink beer, no matter whether they're in a red or blue or purple or green state, whatever it may be, people like beer. And these CCLers saw this as a great entree, and they were having success in getting the attention of brewers and brewers supporting carbon pricing and the work that we were doing. So we looked at this and said, okay, how can we expand on it? And we evolved this into what is the Brewers Climate Declaration. We now have over 150 now, CCL volunteers across the country. And we have received over 130 endorsements from brewers. And with these, the other kind of interesting thing about the brewery sector is over half of the members of Congress are members of the Small Brewers Caucus, either in the House or in the Senate. So it's a key political lever as well. So back in June, when we were there, just recently there for our lobby day, we presented the over 240 members of Congress that are part of these Small Brewers Caucus, our endorsements, as well as the declaration, which calls brewers voicing their collective voice in support of action on carbon pricing, and specifically something like the Energy Innovation Act.
Another success story we'd like to share is with the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, which is a leading trade organization here within Silicon Valley, over 300 innovation companies, all kind of all the big names that you could think of, Google, Facebook, both HPs, Microsoft, and so forth. Microsoft is not headquartered here, but they have a big facility here, are all part of Silicon Valley Leadership Group. And I think this is another great example. Our relationship with them is another great example of what Harold was talking about in terms of the importance of persistence and patience. Because I and Carl Danz, who is our liaison here in Silicon Valley to Representative Anna Eshoo, we developed a relationship with the Senior Vice President of Environment and Energy at Silicon Valley Leadership Group well over 3 years ago. And we've been working with him ever since then to engage with members of Silicon Valley Leadership Group and to talk with them about the possibility of collective advocacy for our bill. And that's included over that time. We had two major convenings, we called them, of 13 of these large companies. We did a lot of education around carbon pricing at that time. Of course, these were almost all VPs or directors of sustainability, so they're pretty savvy people already. But we gave them, we educated them. We had Danny Richter call into both of the meetings. We had Anna Eshoo prepare a video encouraging support, we got a lot of interest, and then. After the second meeting, many of them asked for a study to be done that would analyze the impact of carbon pricing on their specific companies, on the economic outcome of their particular company. So we agreed to do that. We got five of the companies to sponsor and fund the study, and that took about 6 months. But the results of that are done, and the results of that are in. It was good news for the companies. It really shows that the price of carbon would have minimal effect on their business and open up a lot of opportunities and greatly reduce their emissions so throughout their life cycle. So it takes time. And then the really great news, the really great outcome at the beginning of this year, many of you probably have already heard, is that Silicon Valley Leadership Group, as an umbrella organization, they're not speaking for their individual company members, member companies, but they, as an umbrella organization, came out in support. They called it support in principle for HR 763. And you've probably heard Danny talk about that on several of our national calls. We've talked about that with members of Congress, and it carries a significant weight that such an influential trade organization will support in principle our bill. So just another example of persistence and patience, and the payoff can be big.
Okay, thanks, Steve. So a couple of years ago, in addition to looking at the larger companies, we realized that there's a lot of grass tops work to be done in the chapters. And if y'all have heard the story of Jay Butera and the folks in Florida who got, I don't know, it was like 85 local business and community leaders to sign a letter to Carlos Curbelo. And then when a dozen of them met with Congressman Curbelo in Florida, he called it a defining moment, which set him down the path in support of our cause. So what we wanted to do is replicate this all over the country. We started off in Boise, Idaho, in the district of Congressman Mike Simpson, red state, red rep. And we formed a team, we meaning the folks in Boise along with BCL. They recruited companies to sign a fairly mild climate action letter to Mike, Congressman Simpson, which they gathered around 15 signatures for. And ultimately, a handful of those people also met with the representative during when he was in the district. And that was all good. And we wondered what effect it would have. Well, just as any extreme weather event can't be traced directly to global warming, Congressman Simpson's decision to come out on climate was a couple of months ago can't be traced directly to CCL's work. So you'll see that the picture there, he was very concerned about the salmon and trout streams drying up, largely because of the dams that were built there. But he said, climate's a problem and I want to do something about it. So, you know, we don't claim credit for it, but we claim to have been part of the overall influence on the congressman. And that's what we want to do in every district that we can. So these GO teams, let me tell you a little bit about them. GO, Grass Tops Outreach, GO team, it's a sports metaphor. We want to make a more of a systematic approach. If you're Jay Butera or a superstar, I can name a few others, who are comfortable doing this all by yourself, great, go for it. But a lot of people feel like they're not up to this. They don't know enough about business or whatever it might be, and they need some support. And that's what we're trying to do. So the little chart there, first of all, we start off with the fact that the CCL has a great network and resources for Grass Tops Outreach, both to businesses and to community leaders, city councils, that sort of thing. What we want to do is complement and augment that with some resources that are focused specifically on businesses, but can also be used for anybody else in the community leader world. So the four elements of that are teamwork, and you'll hear this and you'll hear more of it. If you've got support from your colleagues there, it makes it so much easier. You know this is true in your chapters in general, with your group leader, also applies to business outreach. Specialization is also significant because not everybody wants to be the person who gets on the phone and makes that warm or cool call to the business leader, but they might be very comfortable with doing the kind of outreach that you may have seen in the last monthly call. One of the actions was to research the businesses that have influence on your member of Congress. And who do you know? Who's going to take action and who's going to have a lot of impact and come up with priorities. So being organized about all that is something we can help you with. There's techniques, there's styles of letters, things you can do. We even have templates on a lot of this stuff that you can just pick up and fill in that will make it easy for people who are just getting started to take those first steps. We do some mentoring. Our time is limited. We're all volunteers. But if you want to get something going and you want us to be a part of your first meeting or two, we can be there to help you organize and lead that. And then training wheels come off and you're on your own. The last part of this is networking. And Harold mentioned this earlier, but it's so critical. One of the most exciting things I find about this is there's always somebody in the climate space, in the carbon pricing space, who has emerged, and we can tell, we told the people in Idaho that Cliff Bar and Hewlett Packard were supporters. And it so happened that there was a big Clif Bar bakery up there, and Hewlett-Packard had a big office. Not only did they sign the letter I told you about, but they also joined the Go team and started recruiting businesses. So that's the kind of thing that can really, really supercharge your local efforts. And I just use this last one as an example. We have a team in our chapter, and it for a long time consisted of me and Bob Fabian. Hi, Bob. And finally, we had three other women who were interested, but they were like, wow, we can't, you know, none of us have any business experience. We're all school teachers or something. And I said, look, if you've been trained by CCL to understand the CCL way and listening and appreciation, and if you've done any training at all and meeting with members of Congress, you're like most of the way there. So there was a few other things that I helped them get going with, even made a little one-page recipe on how to meet with a local business leader, work with a buddy, understand your business, ask them to meet, and then plan, meet, and follow up with some references in there. But they picked that stuff up. The success is that once they decided to go after Oliver's Market, a local grocery chain, they got in touch with the sustainability manager in a day. They had a meeting scheduled in 3 days, and the meeting happened within a week of when they got started. We're on our way to getting a meeting with the founder and the CEO. So now they're hungry, to use a grocery metaphor, to take on some other businesses, including some of the local wineries we have here in Northern California's wine country. So all very doable. We're learning how to do this as we go along, and we learn as much from you as you might learn from us. So, thank you so much for all of that. I think that's all I have.
Great. Thanks, Bruce. So I want to talk a little bit more about our sector teams and how we operate. When we first started BCL, we really aimed first at large companies. I guess both, yeah, pretty much mostly large companies. Harold mentioned we started a lot with retail, but then we quickly evolved into trying to think of what would be the most influential large companies. We identified those, and what we found, quite usually we found that individual businesses, large companies anyway, are not that likely, that inclined to, as an individual company, to endorse particular legislation. And we were able to develop relationships with them. They often were supportive in general terms, but what we evolved to over time was an understanding that working with business associations or with groups of companies tended to give businesses more comfort in terms of taking action as part of larger groups. So we continue to engage individual companies, but as I said, we've kind of migrated more towards business associations. And that's been probably our most effective strategy over the last couple of years. So why don't we go to the next slide, and I'll just go over a few of the successes. We already talked about the first three, so I'm not going to go over those again. But these are all examples of working with industry associations, Silicon Valley Leadership Group, the Brewers Association, the Outdoor Associations, where we have over 100 endorsements, most of them through associations that we're working with, although some individual resorts as well. And then another example, fairly recent, we started a sports sector, and that's one of the ones that I lead, I mentioned earlier. And we've developed, one of the great successes there is we've developed this wonderful relationship with the Green Sports Alliance, and we had a BCL panel at their national summit in Philadelphia about a month and a half ago, and had a chance to educate their membership. There's a huge number. There's like 700 or 800 people there from all the major national sports. It was at the Philadelphia Eagles Stadium, and we're continuing that relationship. I just had a call with them this morning, actually, and we're talking about our ongoing relationship. We're going to do a webinar with them, and this is, just listen to what the mission of their organization is. It's leveraging the cultural and market influence of sports to promote healthy, sustainable communities where we live and play. We're dedicated to creating meaningful change towards a more sustainable future. I mean, could that be a better alignment with CCL or what? So we're excited about that relationship. And then finally, I wanted to mention the health organization, the health action team. They have just done a phenomenal job. They're mostly consist of health professionals, but there's some lay CCL members as well who are interested in getting help and working as a group in terms of reaching out to get local hospitals or medical associations for endorsements. And if you go to community, you can find their resource there, which is called the Health Industry Outreach, which is just fabulous. So that's just another example. You can contact Lori Byron there at community if you're interested in participating in that. So bottom line, all of them, the other ones, I don't have time to talk about all the other ones, but all our teams need and welcome new volunteers. So if you're interested in any of these, particularly if you have experience in any of them, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you join the teams. And most all of them have regular meetings, which we do through Zoom. And we work, as we mentioned earlier, we work in teams as we outreach to organizations and businesses.
Thank you, Steve. So, yeah, as Steve outlined, we would love your help and support. We're here to support you, whether you're a seasoned executive and you have a big network of people that you think might be interested, or you have a confidence and don't need much handholding. Or you're on the other side where you're new to this, or you just think working in business advocacy would be fun for you, or it'd be a great way to learn or expand your skill set. We're here to help. We're here to mentor, to train. We have tools, and most of all, we're here to encourage and support and do it together. So we have openings, as Steve mentioned, in the sector teams and the GO teams. And then also in specific areas, kind of behind the scenes, we have individuals looking at doing research work, researching companies or industries. We have a marketing and PR group working on promoting what we're doing in BCL within CCL to get new members and raise our awareness, as well as externally with companies. We just created a video and have a video series that we're working on. Of executives endorsing their support of carbon pricing and of HR 763, and social media presence. And there's just a lot. If you're interested, we will find a place that is meaningful and will utilize your skills. So, how to get in touch with us is. There's three different ways. Well, two main ways to get in touch with us, and then a resource. So community action team page. Our community action page looks like this. Except if you're not a member, it will say join. So you just go to the top and right where it says bookmark, you'll just click the join button. And we try to keep this updated with kind of new news and things that we're working on. Is our external website, which Harold mentioned earlier, businessclimateleaders.org, which is our external facing website, but also even internally is interesting. You'll see a list of all the different companies that we've been engaged with here. It has a breakdown of the different sector teams. You'll find resources, which look at articles and research relating to carbon pricing that companies would be interested in. News and media, our newsletter, videos, press clips, etc., and then Take Action tab, which will show you how some of the different initiatives, industry initiatives in agriculture and wine and breweries that we are working on. Our internal page, we have a BCL resources page, which continues to evolve, but is kind of your one-stop shop for tools and training and information on BCL. So updated news, some of the things Bruce mentioned on the GO teams, Steve on the sector teams, events, etc. So these are all wonderful resources available to you. And of course, you can email us at info@businessclimateleaders.org. if you have questions or comments or anything that you'd like to offer to us. Finally, before we get into questions, just a quick summary of a few things coming upcoming. As Steve mentioned, there we just had this Green Sports Alliance that we were a part of. There's two CCL events in South Bend, Indiana and Boulder, Colorado, regional conferences that we will have BCL presence. So we'd love your support if you're in those areas to table or to be part of our presentations. In San Francisco, the end of October, there's the Biofuels Leadership Conference that we'll be presenting at, and then the National Association of Realtors, again in San Francisco in November. And then early next year, the American Meteorological Society, we actually have a whole day that we're programming on carbon pricing and climate advocacy. So lots and lots of opportunities.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Bruce, for this phenomenal webinar and highlighting all of these resources that we can use to further our own interest and engagement in building relationships and working with business climate leaders. We hope that you found tonight's training useful. We look forward to being in touch, and keep up the great work out there, everyone. We're building important relationships with an essential area to generate the political will for a livable world.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.